Well, we don't do this very often, but we are going to do it on this Wednesday, April the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, and this is the program called Law and Gospel. And boy, if there's anybody who doesn't divide law and gospel properly, you would think it is the religion of Judaism. And that is correct. So normally we somewhat criticize Judaism, but today, because of one of our avid listeners having sent me some CDs by a Rabbi Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N, well-known rabbi in the country, and he has some CDs where he talks about, from a biblical point of view, the Noah story. In other words, what we're going to be looking at today, the time from Adam to Noah. Do you know that much about it? Well, the Bible has more to say than you think. And in listening to these CDs, there were a lot of excellent points, I believe, the rabbi made, because he was looking at the original Hebrew and was saying some things that I thought were quite helpful. He really didn't get into theology as much as he got into the cultural setting of the day and how similar it is to our day. So without further ado, being Wednesday, which is a time when I like to give insights from books that I have read or essays I have looked at or seminars that I have attended. So without further ado, let's just get into it, and I'm just going to give you some parts of what he had to say. If you'd like to phone in, numbers in the St. Louis area, 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. We need to understand that not that long ago, a man named Voltaire, he said that in 100 years, there would be no Bibles anymore. Nobody would have a Bible. But when somebody has a birth of a baby, where do they normally put the name of that baby? That's right, they still put it in their Bibles. And the Bible is still the best-selling book even today. The reason I mention Voltaire is only because after he died, his house was purchased by the Geneva Bible Society, and they put out thousands of Bibles, printing them in the basement of his house. You know, you really get to see the irony of God and how he uses people from that kind of point of view. Just really, really interesting. Now, what I'm saying is items I heard on the CD, and remember, the reason I think I'm a pretty good teacher is that I am a super plagiarist. I borrow everything. I don't have that many of my own insights. But when I listen to someone and I think, boy, this would be something that I think my listeners would be interested in, well, that's kind of the direction that we go. So what is he talking about? Well, the thing that really got me interested in Rabbi Lapin's view was his whole concept of how things are in chaos. Now, he did something, and I'm going to do this in some of my seminars. I'm going to get a glass container, and on the bottom I'm going to put, say, red marbles, and the next level will be blue marbles, yellow marbles, and green marbles. And when you look at it, it really looks good. But then I'm going to, during the seminar, I'm going to shake it. And guess what? The marbles are all going to get mixed up. How long do you think I have to shake it before they all get back to the way I had originally put them in with each color on a different level? I thought that was a great point. Because, you see, and here's the point I would make from a Lutheran understanding of the Scripture. When God created the world and the Garden of Eden existed prior to the fall of human beings into sin, guess what? it was like perfect levels of marbles. But once they fell into sin, remember, the ground now brings forth thorns. Weather patterns lead to hurricanes and tornadoes. Comets crash into the earth. Just this morning, I was reading the newspaper where a gentleman in a house, I think it was in Nebraska, a meteorite went through his roof. Now, it wasn't that big, but that wasn't happening in the Garden of Eden. In other words, when sin came into the world, guess what happened? The marbles got shook up. And it doesn't matter how long man is going to try, he will never be able to put the marbles in the proper condition as they were in the Garden of Eden. Now, God has stepped in. And what he has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ, he has put you, that poor, miserable sinner, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, he has remade your marbles properly. What I mean by that is he now declares you righteous in his sight. Now, how can he do that? Has he made you in such a way when you were converted that now you no longer sin? No, you continue to sin. But because of the forgiveness of sins, which takes away any punishment you deserve eternally, and because of the robe of righteousness, which means you can even come to the Lord's Supper and receive the Holy of Holies within you, your marbles are straightened up in God's eyes. That's what we mean by redemption. But for the world, and here we're talking about sinful humanity, as well as all things kind of messed up when Adam and Eve fell into sin. Things just aren't working the way they were, either in the outside universe, as I mentioned, meteorites coming down and crashing into houses, or weather patterns, things that didn't exist during the time of the Garden of Eden. Chaos is now occurring. And there is nothing that man will be able to do to ever restore. There are things that we can do to eliminate some of the most severe kinds of things. For example, we put tornado sirens up. So this allows people, what, to stop the tornado? No, to rush to their basement. That's about as far as we can go. And death? Death is going to come to all of us short of Judgment Day. So that there's nothing humanity can do to straighten things up. And this was the main point of the rabbi. And what he was saying is, we can learn a lot from the time of Adam to Noah. Adam to Noah. Well, did you realize that there were 10 generations from Adam to Noah, particularly through the line of Sheth? And that was one of Adam's sons. The 10 generations are Adam, Seth, Enosh, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, and then we get to Lamech and Noah. Now, we're going to talk more about Lamech in a few minutes, but the point we're trying to make is there were only 10 generations. Why did God come to the conclusion that the earth needed to be destroyed with a flood, at least all human beings above the ocean, in order to start over with Noah? See, that's the point that he's making. And what he says is this, is the Bible is God's word, and therefore we need to examine it not as a Shakespearean play, but as a nuclear plant. I found that really interesting, and I'm sure you'd like me to explain that to you, because I didn't know what he was talking about. But when you're talking about a Shakespearean play like Macbeth or Hamlet or something along those lines, much of the dialogue is made up. It's not really true in history. But they're great creative plays by Shakespeare, and they often have a point. And the point is normally a moral point or a cultural point or something like that. Now, you can't believe how many seminaries are teaching their students to look at the Bible like Shakespearean plays. We call it the historical critical method. And you're hearing this nonsense even a lot today of people who think evolution is the way that God created the world. And even though it is as clear as glass that God created the world in six 24-hour days, they still believe in evolution. Why? Because they look at the creation account like a Shakespearean play. It's not really true, but you have to find what the points are that God wanted to make. And about the only thing you can find out is, well, there is a God who created the world, and it's kind of chaotic right now. But there's no real reason why it's chaotic, because in the evolutionary scheme, man didn't even come upon the scene for billions of years. Even though there was death and decay and all these terrible storms and ice ages and all this occurring. So evolution, by its very nature, disagrees with the biblical concept that the chaos we are experiencing is because of the fall of human beings into sin. No, that was all occurring way before Adam and Eve came. So I'm not really sure how anybody who believes in evolution can believe the Bible at all. Because the Bible is contradictory all over the place, if you believe in evolution. Now, what's the difference between a Shakespeare play, and you have a manuscript of the Shakespeare play, but then you have a manuscript of how to take care of a nuclear plant? Now, that's the item that he used, and I thought that was brilliant. What I mean by that is, for example, there are certain rules in a nuclear plant. Like, before you leave, you need to make sure that the gauges aren't going over what they're supposed to be going. And then there's another rule, for example, in a nuclear plant manual about turning off certain things or turning them on. Now, can you imagine if somebody came in and said, yeah, I like to work here, and, well, what kind of employee are you going to be? Well, I'm going to look at the manual, but I'm only going to use those things that I believe are true. Can you imagine? There's not a degree of importance in a nuclear plant manual where some things are less important to the degree that you could ignore them. No. If they have rules, you better follow them or you're going to end up with a Chernobyl. The point is really a good point he makes. The Bible is to be read like a nuclear plant manual. There is nothing that is unimportant. And here's the basis of what Rabbi Lapin was talking about. If the people, after the time of Adam, refused to look at God's word and listen to him, then chaos would result. And what he does in his lecture here, he does an amazing job of showing how that chaos started. It started real small with one of the individuals named Lamech. Lamech decided that, yes, he had a wife, and she was giving him children, which was the purpose of marriage, but he decided to take another woman because she was really good-looking, and she was going to be his wife of pleasure rather than a wife of childbearing. Now, that didn't seem like a very big thing, but you can only imagine the problems that brought to the marriage. And you can only imagine that their children, having those same ideas, wow. In fact, by the time of Noah's flood, not only were men misusing women, but they were also misusing men. Homosexuality was rampant at the time of the fall, according to the rabbi. And he gives the Bible verses. He kind of mocks people like Rousseau. He was a great philosopher, and he believed in the noble savage. The noble savage, the natural person found in the jungles, he believed That would be the way we all should be. Well, the problem is those noble savages ended up eating other people. They became cannibals, some of them. And he points to the Blue Lagoon. That was a movie where, remember, a young couple ended up being stranded on an island, and the whole movie, it was like they were in heaven. They could swim in the water. They had plenty of food. The animals weren't going to be dangerous towards them. See, this is a view a lot of people think can happen to this earth. We call it a utopia. But Jesus makes very clear, you will always have the poor with you. You will always have wars and rumors of wars. So here we have Lamech really beginning with something that people didn't think was that big a thing. And what the rabbi was pointing to is, you know, there are a lot of people saying, well, what's wrong with gay marriage? If two people love each other, why don't we go ahead and do that? And what he showed so clearly is that when that happens, the children suffer. Children without either a father or a mother, but instead people of the same gender as their parents. That is not the way God set up the nuclear plant manual or the biblical manual. And he did a very good job of going through the various commandments to show that, much like Martin Luther did, that there's not only negatives in the commandments, but there's really positives too. Like, thou shalt not kill, you know, we are not to hurt or harm our neighbor, but also befriend him in every bodily need. There's always positives in the commandments. And this is why I have said for some time now that as homosexuality becomes more and more popular and more people think it's okay, you're going to have a higher rate of suicide of homosexuals. And the reason isn't because the Christian church is going to continue to teach it as an abomination before Almighty God, but God has put into the world certain repercussions when you go against his natural laws, as found in the Ten Commandments. Just like women today having abortions, within 4, 5, 6 years, they really start feeling guilty, and they go through some traumatic experiences. That is just how God has set up this world. And that's why, in the area of abortion, we've now turned the corner where more people in the United States are against abortion for any reason, whereas not that many years ago, they didn't see anything wrong with that. So, what we're kind of looking at, therefore, is what led to the destruction of the world. One of the things, there's this passage in the scripture, and it's in Genesis, of course, because it doesn't take very long before Noah is needed. But in Genesis chapter 6, we have a little situation here, and this is where the rabbi is very helpful. You may not realize that the chapter headings and the verses didn't come about until centuries after the Bible was written. But the Torah, that is the Hebrew Bible, they were divided into sedras, S-E-D-R-A. And the first sedra actually ends with Genesis 6, verse 8, when Noah comes on the scene. So, listen to verse 1 and 2. This is the end of the first sedra, the first division of the Hebrew Bible, according to this rabbi, as it leads up to the destruction of the world. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, some people have said, what, sons of God, are those other gods or something, or are they angels? This rabbi really helped me understand this better. He took a look at the original Hebrew, and what we found out is that the term sons of God, used in the Bible, often also refers to powerful people. Because that's what the Hebrew means, the sons of the powerful. So what happened here is that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the powerful people, that they saw these daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And they'd have more than one wife. Well, this is not the way that God had intended a marriage to be. You don't get a wife, you know, for the purpose that is pleasurable or that they're beautiful, but instead for reproduction. And because this wasn't occurring when God said to Adam, go be fruitful and multiply, and these powerful people, and you know, in every generation, in every nation, there's powerful people who usurp their power over the weak people or the regular people, whether they're dictators or whatever you want to call them. And the Lord says in verse 3, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And so what happens, these were mighty men who were of old, men of renown, who took these daughters. Verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it's really stuck in my mind. It was a sign found on London buses. God does not exist. Let's party. And when you hear people on a television show saying, you know, there really isn't a good reason why homosexuals can't be married, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, there's really no good reason why babies shouldn't be aborted. No, there really isn't. If you are evolutionary, it's survival of the fittest. And babies, they're not fit, especially when they're unwanted. So even male lions eat their cubs because they're hungry and they don't want them. That's why the female is always protecting them against male lions. This is the way nature is. So you take God out of the picture, there's really not a reason for any kind of moral behavior. And you see, this is part of the problem we're having with the bombing in Boston. You actually now have commentators making the point that we kind of deserve that because of our killing of people overseas. See, once you get justice messed up with evolution, you are on a path to chaos. And we see this in every great empire that fell apart. Chaos kind of took over. Now, what happened is with this, and this is the rabbi speaking, this shattering of the link between sex and reproduction was really the beginning of chaos really coming into the world, to the point that God decided in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the beginning of what's referred to as the second Sedra of the Old Testament. Well, what I found so very interesting with Rabbi Lapin, and I appreciate the individual who sent me these, I've got two more to listen to, which I do when I, you know, travel to various places on Sunday. Like, I'm going to Manitou, Illinois this Sunday, and that's almost a three-hour trip, so I'll get to hear quite a bit of the rabbi and maybe share some more of it with you next week. But I think his insights are really good, that we're living in a world that goes more and more into chaos when the Bible is looked at as a Shakespearean play rather than a manual for a nuclear plant. And there isn't a word in the Bible that God doesn't have great meaning to. I haven't even gotten into the opportunity, by the way, to share with you some of the important points he made when he looked at the original Hebrew, because everybody who has a name in the Bible, in the Hebrew, that name means something. And that was another wonderful part. Let me just say that Rabbi Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N, the title of the CDs is The Gathering Storm. And the one I've been dealing with today is Decoding the Secrets of Noah. And I really do believe that he makes some wonderful points, this rabbi of the Jewish religion. I'm Tom Baker. We'll be continuing this as I get even more insights from him. It shows that we as Lutherans, yes, we get insights from everywhere, because God does give gifts to people, like in understanding the Hebrew to a level that is not just quite obvious. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Muslim writings that encourage violence and death in light of the Boston bombing, and we'll have with us Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Till then, Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.